taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, this is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. I hope you had an excellent Christmas. I hope you got to spend time with friends and family, or whatever it is you do to celebrate. I hope you had a great time. Now, as we prepare for the new year, well, we think about what 2022 is going to be like, which brought an interesting question to me the other day. So the question is, will this new year bring a renewed love of liberty? Now, I hear a lot of people that are looking at 2022 and they're looking at it from a political standpoint and they're expecting a red wave in Congress. That's not what I'm talking about. I hear a lot of people talking about the frustration with many of the COVID restrictions that have yet to be lifted and some that are being reimposed. That's closer to what I'm talking about. But what I'm really talking about is, in 2022, will we really renew our love for liberty? Now, in looking at the news, I'm, well, let's say somewhat skeptical of how much of our renewal of liberty will happen. I believe some is happening. I believe people are getting fed up and frustrated, and more people are looking for liberty. But, I wrote an article that looked at three examples revolving mostly around firearms of the state controlling a constitutionally protected right. In other words, a state denying liberty to its citizens by the claiming the power to regulate a right.
The Declaration of Independence lists some of our inalienable rights. It also says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. If governments are created to secure our rights, does that mean they have the legitimate power to regulate them? Now, in many situations, governments at all levels claim that power. So what happens when we, the people, allow governments to control our rights? Or, more importantly, what can we do to regain control of our rights? During the ratification debates, one of the reasons the Federalists were opposed to the Bill of Rights was the fear that if we put a list of rights in the Constitution, someone would think they had the right to regulate them. History has shown there was merit to the Federalist concern. Enter Title 40, the United States Code, Section 5104. Capitol grounds and building security. Firearms, dangerous weapons, explosives, and incendiary devices. Any individual or group of individuals, except as authorized by regulations prescribed by the Capitol Police Board, may not carry on or have readily accessible to any individual on the grounds or in any of the Capitol buildings a firearm, a dangerous weapon, explosives, or an incendiary device. May not discharge a firearm or explosives, use a dangerous weapon, or ignite an incendiary device on the grounds or in any of the Capitol buildings, or may not transport on the grounds or in any Capitol buildings, explosives, or any incendiary device. This law places the sole discretion over who is allowed to bear arms on the Capitol grounds in the hands of the Capitol Police Board. Now, this is in direct violation of the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. However, there's an interesting twist to this law. Members of Congress are not subject to it. See, Article 1, Section 6, Clause 1 of the Constitution reads, "The senators and representatives shall, in all cases except treason, felony, breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses, and in going to and returning from the same. While it may be against the law, and constitutional and void as that law may be, members of Congress are exempt from arrest since this is not a felony." No one seemed to care very much, at least not until Lauren Boebert won her seat in Congress. Representative Boebert stated that she would carry her firearm on Capitol grounds. Well, that is a violation of 40 U.S.C. 5104E. As a member of the House of Representatives, she is privileged from arrest while in attendance at the Capitol. which quickly led to the introduction of H.R. 545, the No Congressional Loophole Act. Exception. Notwithstanding subparagraph A, the Capitol Police Board may not authorize or permit a member of Congress or an employee of such member of Congress to carry on or have readily accessible to such member or employee a firearm, except a member or employee may store a firearm in a car owned by such member or employee that is parked in the garage in the Capitol complex if the member or employee is in compliance with the firearms laws of the District of Columbia for the lawful possession of such firearm, and such firearm is locked with a gun lock while on the Capitol complex. There are a couple of things I noticed in this legislation. First, all it really does is tell the Capitol Police Board that they may not authorize a member of Congress or an employee to carry a firearm at the Capitol. To my knowledge, the Capitol Police have not authorized Representative Boebert to carry a firearm, so nothing has changed there. Which leads to the second point. See, when it comes to congressmen, it means absolutely nothing, since it would be a violation of the Constitution for the Capitol Police to arrest a senator or representative while attending or traveling to or from a session of their respective houses. What are the Capitol Police going to do? And just imagine Representative Boebert or another member of Congress filing a complaint with the Capitol Police or with the FBI, for that matter, of a violation of Title 18 United States Code Section 242 for denying them a right protected under the Constitution of the United States. Unfortunately, I bet this legislation makes someone feel better. Next, let's look at the state of Illinois. See, like several other states, they require someone to possess a firearm owner identification card, or a FOID card, in order to own or possess a firearm. In other words, the states claim that their citizens must get their permission before exercising their right to keep and bear arms. This is a blatant violation of the Second Amendment, but the courts have routinely upheld this criminal idea that states can infringe on your rights if they have a good enough reason. Then, to add insult to injury, the state of Illinois makes things worse. From an audit commission report I read, there's also a management audit of Illinois State Police's handling of the firearm owner identification card and concealed carry license programs. Auditors say of their sample, 87% of FOID cards weren't processed in time with up to a year delay, and 60% of renewals were not processed in time with up to a 214-day delay. Of the applications auditors sampled, 43% of CCL applications weren't processed within the constraints of the law. If it wasn't bad enough that residents of Illinois need state approval to own a gun, the state can't even follow their own laws regarding the issuing of that permission. And if a right delayed is a right denied, then this is even more evidence of the state of Illinois denying the rights of their citizens. Not to be outdone, Governor Gavin Newsom of California, in what appears to be a fit of pique, decides to abuse the rights of his citizens because he doesn't like how the Supreme Court is handling a case from another state. I am outraged by yesterday's U.S. Supreme Court decision allowing Texas's ban on most abortion services to remain in place and largely endorsing Texas's scheme to insulate its law from the fundamental protections of Roe v. Wade. But if states can now shield their laws from review by the federal courts that compare assault weapons to Swiss Army knives, then California will use that authority to protect people's lives where Texas used it to put women in harm's way. Look at the reasoning Governor Newsom is using. He doesn't like the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States has not issued an injunction against a Texas law currently being reviewed by the federal judiciary. Forget the fact that the court noted that the request for an injunction was not legitimate, since it attempted to enjoin someone who cannot use the Texas law. Ignoring the fact that the potential harm of issuing an injunction would be quite permanent, the baby is dead. While the harm of waiting until the courts have issued their opinions is generally not. I mean, after all, unless the pregnancy is approaching term, there will still be time to kill the baby should the Texas law be found unconstitutional. The Supreme Court decision not to issue an injunction that would not stop the law does not prevent another court from deciding that a case brought against someone performing or receiving an abortion can be found unconstitutional as well. Nope, Governor Newsom isn't happy, and someone is going to pay. So to whom does Governor Newsom focus his ire? Well, on gun owners, of course. So the most unique aspect of the Texas pro-life law is that it authorizes private parties to sue rather than making abortions a criminal offense. Now, I have my issues with this part of the Texas law, mostly on its vagary in who is allowed to sue. So I guess Governor Newsom is planning to allow private parties to sue California citizens for owning a legal firearm? That doesn't really surprise me, as it complies with so many of the irrational attempts of the anti-gun movement to get around the law and the Second Amendment to get their way. I also find the language Governor Newsom used to be quite interesting. Yes, AR-15s have been described as the Swiss Army knives of firearms, not because of their innocuous nature, but because of their versatility and ability to be customized. Just look at the comparison he's making, though. Governor Newsom claims that restricting quote-unquote assault weapons that saves people's lives, just after the Kyle Rittenhouse case where he used one to save his own life. He also claims that the Texas pro-life abortion law puts women in harm's way while ignoring the fact that many little girls and boys are killed every day in elective abortions. Governor Newsom's announcement is a double whammy when it comes to infringing on people's rights. Yes, he wants to deny people in California the right to keep and bear arms, at least ones he thinks are scary. He also wants to deny people their right to not be deprived of their life without due process. Not bad for a single announcement. Now, while all three of the examples I've used in this video relate to firearms, there's much more at stake. We've all seen governments claim the authority to control what you say, how you run your business, even what you put in your body. All of these are infringements on the people's rights protected by the Constitution of the United States. Perhaps it's time we the people reminded our employees in government of the consequences of failing to protect our rights. As the Declaration of Independence points out, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Now, those are just some examples of governments denying liberty, denying rights, infringing on rights. They focused, yes, on firearms. Let's take a look at some of the others and think about what this is going to mean for 2022. Let's start with looking at the COVID craziness. We have this on-again, off-again OSHA regulation based on, well, what somebody in a court says. Not based on the law, not based on the Constitution, simply based on the opinion frequently of a single judge. Well, now OSHA has announced they're going to give a grace period. So instead of enforcing it on this illegal, unconstitutional, irrational regulation on January 4th, they're going to push it to January 10th. Oh, goody. How nice of them. So now you don't own your business anymore. Your business is controlled by the bureaucracy in Washington. And if they deign to give you a few extra days to comply with their illegal mandates, well, isn't that just very generous of them? But what saddens me is a growing number of businesses are not only complying with this illegal mandate, even when it was put on hold, when it was enjoined by a court, now they're requiring the booster shot. Now, again, as a private business, if you believe the best thing for your employees, for you to protect your business, yourself, your employees, is to require they be vaccinated, well, you can put that into your employment guidelines. You can put that into your employment contract, your employee handbook. But if you're going to put it in after the fact, well, you have to suffer the consequences of it. But here's the part that concerns me. You see, this is not being done based on a medical discussion. Oh, sure, Dr. Fauci recommends it. Dr. Fauci has been pushing it. President Biden announced it. But tell me, where is the medical necessity? See, we keep these discussions keep forgetting the fact that this is still an experimental drug. It's not a vac. Two of the three are not vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson shot, I believe, is a vaccine because if memory serves, it actually fits the legal definition of a vaccine. It introduces a weakened version of a disease to elicit an immune response in the body. However, Moderna and Pfizer are not vaccines. They're gene therapy. See, the interesting thing is Moderna and Pfizer don't treat COVID. They don't get your body to build an immune response to COVID, only to the spike protein. And these mRNA vaccines have never been used widespread in any human population. So they're experimental. That's why they're under emergency use authorization. But a growing number of businesses have been, I believe, hoodwinked into believing the vaccine does something it does not. That is, protect you, prevent you from getting or spreading COVID. Now, there is some evidence that the vaccines help reduce your body's reaction to it, that the symptoms will be lessened, but that wanes relatively quickly. So rather than looking at this and saying, okay, we have an experimental drug that doesn't stop the spread, doesn't prevent you from getting infected, but we're going to force you to do it as a condition of work. What does that say about our liberty in 2022? As more and more businesses claim that are going to claim that to work for them, you have to be an experimental guinea pig. Oh yeah, sooner or later, we'll get some FDA approval of one of the vaccines, right? The Comirnaty brand of the Pfizer drug has been FDA approved. But the FDA says they want 75 years to release the data on how they approved it, why they approved it. 75 years. Doesn't anyone else find that suspicious? Sure, let's approve a drug, one that's never been tested before, not on this scale, one that hasn't gone through all the routine tests that every other drug has to go through, for a disease that has a 98.6% chance of survival. Or is it 98.4. Do I want to get the facts right? And that for the vast majority of Americans, it's over 99%. But no. We're not going to worry about that. And we're certainly not going to let the public know how we got to this decision. We're just going to approve it. I'm sorry. I don't trust a bunch of bureaucrats in the FDA when they bypass the rules to push this drug. So even when it is quote-unquote approved, and again, Comirnaty is approved, but it's not available in the U.S. You see, Pfizer's refusing to sell it in the U.S. until they've sold all their other stuff. But what does that say about our liberty? Now, I am so thankful I don't work for corporate America anymore. I spent 30 years in corporate America. I am quite happy that I got out. And I got out before this COVID craziness, but I am so glad now that I did. I've had job offers to go back into corporate America, and I don't want to touch them. Because when are these businesses are going to start saying, you know what, Paul, you want that paycheck, you got to get the jab. Sorry, I'm not prepared to do that. I'm not prepared to be a medical experiment in exchange for a paycheck. Now, some people may not have a choice. Well, they'd have a choice, but they may not think they have a choice, right? Because they don't have the financial resources. But it's even, to me, more a reason why we want to be as independent as possible, to live at liberty, to not be dependent on others so that others don't have control over us. I found this other article. This one came from the Daily Caller. The nation's largest bank, JP Morgan Chase, has now told unvaccinated employees at their Manhattan office that they must remain home and work remotely. Now, I don't know about you. I like working from home. Not everybody does, but I like working from home. I've done it for over 20 years. But again, how long before a bank says, you know what, we're not going to let you work on site unless you are a medical experiment? Does that sound like liberty getting greater or liberty being restricted? Doesn't sound like liberty's getting greater to me. See, Senator Dianne Feinstein tweeted a letter to the FAA. And she said, as domestic travel increases this holiday season, we urge you to implement new requirements for airline passengers to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test result to board a domestic flight. Oh, so they want you to get vaccinated in order to fly domestically. Does that sound like liberty increasing? I already refuse to fly commercially because of the threat of a COVID mass mandate. I'm sorry, of a vaccine mandate. And I will not take the COVID test for two very important reasons. One, it's an experimental use authorization. It hasn't been proven to be accurate. It hasn't been proven to be effective. And I'm certainly not giving medical information to an airline for a disease that is proven to be not that deadly. Now, the letter goes on. It says, travel our nation's airports has essentially returned to pre-pandemic levels, but the risk from COVID-19, including from its new variant Omicron, continues to present a major public health threat. Baloney. This is not a major health threat, unless you consider the common cold a major health threat. Hospitalizations from Omicron, I saw one report said study that said the hospitalizations were down 80%. Oh, but hospitalizations are going up. Yeah, Delta. Deaths from Omicron are all but non-existent. But they don't care. There are people who do not care. They want you to take this drug. I don't know why they want you to take this drug, but they want you to take this drug. And as we've shown with the boosters, this is not a one-time deal. It's not get a shot, you're done. This is going to go on and on and on again for a disease with a recovery rate of 98.4%. 98.4% of the people who get COVID survive. I don't know what the hospitalization rate is off the top of my head because I don't see it in the CDC data. But the biggest, from what I've read and from what I've seen, the biggest threat to you dying from COVID-19 is not the COVID-19, it's the remdesivir they're shoving down people's throats. But you see, Senator Feinstein and House members Beyer, Schwalwell, and Torres, they don't care. They don't believe you have a right to go do business with these company with these airlines without being forced into being an experiment. And then we have Dr. Fauci. And Fauci said that masks on planes will always be necessary no matter what. We went through flu pandemics without masks on airplanes. We went through the avian flu, the H1N1 flu. We went through all these flus and we didn't require masks. Now they've taken this power and we let them and they will not give it up. Does that sound like liberty's going to get better in 2022? And according to the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, the Biden administration is claiming the power to require proof of vaccination for domestic travel if the health impact is overwhelming. Well, let's first of all realize that the health impact data is fraudulent. The CDC has already admitted earlier this year that 94% of what they report as COVID deaths are deaths with COVID, not necessarily of COVID. That on average of those 94%, 2.5 other causes of death. There are already reports that hospitals are reporting anybody who tests positive as a COVID death. You die of a heart attack, a car accident. If they can show that you have COVID symptoms, they want to report you as a COVID death because they, I believe, because they get more money from the government when they do. The health impact of COVID is not overwhelming. It hasn't been overwhelming. What has been overwhelming our healthcare system is government regulations about COVID. Do you really think that a government where a king can simply tell you you cannot travel without being a medical experiment is a country at liberty. The more and more government tells you how to live your life, the less and less free you are. And that's all we've seen for the last 2 years. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 2 years. And what are the American people doing about it? Is 2022 going to be freer than 2021? I'm not holding my breath. Because there are way too many people that are willing to sit back and say, well, they must know better. We must simply comply. We must simply be the sheep they think us to be and do what we're told. In other words, you see, there are two ways to enslave a people. One is by force, the other is by coercion. See, if they put troops in the streets to compel compliance, that would be force, and the people would stand up. But if you coerce people with information, fraudulent information, misinformation, to use a current term, disinformation, if you claim powers that you don't legally have, and you tell people, well, it's for your own good, this is necessary, we have to do this, we know better, it's for your own good. Well, I remind you what William Pitt the Younger said. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. Yes, it is the argument of tyrants, but it is also the creed of slaves. So when Biden and Fauci and the CDC and these businesses claim it is necessary that we infringe on your rights, that's the claim of a tyrant. When the American people submit because it's necessary, that is the creed of our own enslavement. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you a couple things. One, please head to constitutionstudy.com. Find the articles, the videos, all the work that I'm doing to help show you how to live as a free citizen, how to understand what's going on from a constitutional standpoint. Hey, ask a question. You can have me answer it here on the radio, on the website, or just email you a response. I'd be more than happy to. Sign up for the newsletter here. You'll be informed of what's going on at the Constitution Study. Maybe head over to Constitution Scholars. If you want to study the Constitution, go to constitutionscholars.com. Sign up. It's absolutely free. You'll get access to a library and some classes and community groups where you can find others that are interested in reading and studying the Constitution. If you want someone to mentor you in your studies, there's a program for that over there as well. Find out more. Again, that's constitutionscholars.com. But the other thing we need to do, I'd like you to do, please, is head to healthycell.com. So I don't know about you, but my doctor wants me taking vitamins, especially things like D3 and zinc and vitamin C. But, you know, you buy the vitamins. Are they well made? They haven't really changed them since the 1930s. Well, Healthy Cell has reinvented the vitamin. They have these gel packs, and they're designed to work at the cellular level to boost your immune system, help you sleep better, help you focus. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. Now, let's talk about that focus and recall. I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I get a little fuzzy-headed sometimes. And if I have work I have to do and I need that focus, well, that's what I want focus and recall for. Forget the energy drinks. Forget the energy shots. They're full of caffeine and sugar. Healthy Cells Focus and Recall really just gives you the vitamins so that your brain works better without the jitters, without the crash afterwards. And I said, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So try any of their formulas, Focus and Recall, the REM Sleep, the Super Boost. Again, I'm talking about Focus and Recall today. Just make sure you use that code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Let's get real, let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. I want to put in a quick word and a solid word for healthy cell. Healthy cell is a product line of gel-packed, multi-source vitamins and supplements that are targeted, I think, particularly to help patients recovering from COVID-19. That's my most frequent recommendation to patients in that application. The long COVID syndrome has a variety of neurologic as well as neuromuscular effects on the body. And as I revealed today on the McCullough Report, we now know the virus is in the body for a long period of time, even up to 230 days after initial infection. So we need everything that Healthy Cell has to offer. Three products that I have in my house used to boost the immune system. We need it as we're fighting off COVID-19 over a long period of time. The focus and memory product, particularly helping with brain fog and that frustrating set of neurologic and actually psychiatric sometimes symptoms that develop after COVID-19. We get so frustrated with that brain fog and that fuzziness. As we know now, the virus is in the brain. And then lastly, the REM sleep supplement, which restores the healthy sleep quality that no other supplement does. You know, many other sleeping medications and supplements simply force people into sleep, was shortening the sleep latency. That's the variable in a sleep study. This Healthy Cell is completely different. It actually improves the sleep quality. And the concept here is that when sleep quality improves, one gets a more restful night of sleep, the next day is better, so therefore there's better opportunity to exercise and have a healthier diet, there's fewer stress hormones, and then the next night of sleep, again with Healthy Cell REM sleep supplement taken on a consistent basis, is another quality night of sleep, and then that very favorable pattern sets in the human body. One of the things I tell patients is on vitamins and supplements, use them daily and use them consistently. They're not start-stop types of products. We use them daily and use them consistently, and then expect over several months, you'll start to see changes in your body. And with this product line, I can tell you, you'll like what you feel. So let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're asking a simple question. Do you think there will be a renewed interest, a renewed love of liberty in 2022? We're approaching the end of 2021, and there have been a lot of attacks on our liberty. Do we expect this to change in 2022? I talked in the first half about things like gun control and these vaccine and mask mandates, this control of our lives. Well, I want to kind of take a different tack and look at some other things. I'm actually going to start with schools. See, I found a report in the Washington Examiner, and they're talking about schools possibly closing because of quote-unquote coronavirus cases. I guess the Detroit Public School is planning on going online as they close schools for one day a week in the month of December. They're planning on doing some more of this in the next year. Now, again, I've been out of school for a long time. I've been out of school decades. And I do seem to remember that when I was in school, the general rule of thumb was, if you are sick, don't come to school. Right? Coughing, sneezing, fever, don't go to school. So I see a logic behind saying, you know, hey, if you are having symptoms, don't go to school. Now, in my day, we didn't have online learning, so the only thing I could do is have my sister bring home whatever homework or stuff that my teacher had given out so I could try to keep up at home. But then, thankfully, I was never out of school that long that was really a problem. But as we see schools, again, students, children, at a young age from 5 to 17, very, very low risk of COVID, but they want to shut them down. Now, could it be that they're having a harder time getting teachers and other support staff? Possibly. If you're going to force people to be guinea pigs in order to work, you're going to find a labor shortage. So that could be part of it as well. But do you think that's going to get better in 2022 or not? I can tell you, I'm not really expecting things to get better. And I do this for a couple reasons. Not simply because, again, the Detroit public school is going into has the month of December gone online for one day a week. You have schools in Prince George's County, Maryland, that you got two middle schools and a charter school that have gone to online instruction. You have schools in Washington, D.C. that are shutting down for a few positive cases of COVID. Again, COVID isn't dangerous, generally, to school-aged children. But no, we have the cases. We've got to go crazy. And that brings up which has an interesting snowball effect. You see, if I know many parents, you've got two income households, and they are dependent on the school to take care of their children while they're both off working. Now, that becomes an issue. What happens when, again, the school starts shutting down at the mere threat that there is an increase of cases? Not hospitalizations, not deaths, not threats to children. No. Just more cases. Now, is this being driven by, I believe it's driven by many things, but what happens to freedom and liberty? What happens to our children's education? Now, granted, there are some public schools that probably give an adequate education. There are some that give a great education. There are some that give a horrendous education. But what is going to be the long-term impact of these school closures on children? Not just for the next few years, for the rest of their lives. Are they falling behind in their education? And then we have another report that Joe Biden, well, he wants biweekly testing if you want your kid to go to school. Now, again, remember, these tests are still emergency use authorization. That means they're experimental. The CDC has already had to modify, they had to come out with a second generation PCR test because the first one was so flawed, it couldn't tell the difference between COVID-19 virus and the flu. Do we think they got this one better? And think about it. Biweekly testing. So let's say your child goes to school, they do the little thing, they shove this swab up their nose, they take the test, and they walk in the door. Now, has their body been exposed to COVID but hasn't shown enough for it to show up in the test? You don't know. Once they walk, have they encountered somebody and been exposed to COVID too early for the test to pick up? You don't know. Once they're in the school, could they encounter somebody who has COVID? You don't know. So all this testing nonsense, because it's a respiratory virus, it means nothing. Well, almost nothing. So if you take a test on Monday at 9 a.m., it means you didn't have a detectable amount of the virus or the antibodies in your body at 9 a.m. on Monday. Doesn't mean anything about 10 a.m., 11, 12, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're back to testing. We're back to destroying our children's understanding of responsibility. We are instilling fear in a group that has the least to fear from COVID. We are installing fear. I was listening to a radio program. They were talking with a school counselor. And she was talking about how the increase in anxiety and suicide attempts and suicidal thoughts has grown tremendously over the last year or last couple of years. And I'm like, well, why not? I would be surprised if it didn't. We've spent 2 years scaring the pants off of our students. COVID's coming to get you. You're going to die. Now, the fact is that the chances of you getting COVID are small. The chances of you dying are minuscule, but we have scared the pants off them. We've put masks on them. We've put them behind shields. We've wrapped them up in bubble wrap. We've closed down schools. And now we are raising a generation of children that are afraid of each other. They go around in masks, even though masks, again, most masks are only 20 to 40% effective if they're worn properly. But you see, they go around in masks. They don't see each other's faces anymore. For a disease they rarely die from. We have young children being traumatized by being forced to wear a mask that they don't understand why. And they're losing the opportunity of education, the learning of language by watching the lips, by recognizing the facial expressions. Do you think that's getting better in 2022? I'm not holding my breath. And then this lovely little piece of legislation came along. The New York legislature had now this did get pulled, but they had legislature where they wanted to provide indefinite detention of the unvaccinated at the governor's whim. That's right, internment camps. Now, at least we have no history with internment camps, do we? Does anybody remember World War II? Where if you were of Japanese descent, even if you'd been born in this country, if you were Japanese descent, you could be sent to a camp because we were afraid. Now listen to this little piece of tyranny. Upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case, contact, or carrier, or suspected case, contact, or carrier of a contagious disease that, in the opinion of the governor, after consultation with the commissioner, may pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health resulting in severe morbidity or high mortality, the governor or his delegee, including but not limited to the commissioner or the heads of the local health departments, may order the removal and or detention of such a person or of a group of such persons by issuing a single order identifying such persons either by name or by a reasonably specific description of the individual or group being detained. Such person or group of persons shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee and complying with subdivision 5 of this section. Oh, so you don't actually have to, you know, if the governor and the commissioner think that you may possibly have been in contact with somebody who's suspected of being a carrier, or you're just suspected that you've had contact with a disease. Now, supposedly this disease is supposed to be severe morbidity or high mortality. But wait a second, why is this being implemented for COVID? COVID doesn't have severe morbidity. It doesn't have a high mortality rate. Why are they introducing this for COVID? And then, of course, a little later down, what we find is, in addition to the removal or detention orders referred to in Subdivision 2 of this section, and without affecting or limiting any other authority that the commissioner may otherwise have, the governor or his or her delegee may, in his or her discretion, issue and seek enforcement of any other orders that he or she determines are necessary or appropriate to prevent dissemination or transmission of contagious diseases or other illnesses that may pose a threat to the public health. Now, let's stop there for a second. So basically we're saying, listen, if the governor thinks this is a disease, this is a public health threat, how often have we heard of COVID being a public health emergency? Well, at their discretion, in the state of New York, they want the power to inter, to detain, to arrest people simply because the governor thinks it's the right thing to do. Now, look at what they've been doing in New York. Do you really think this is going to be based on science? I don't. They've shown no example of it. But look at some of the powers they want to give the governor. Let's see. They included but not limited to orders requiring any person or persons who are not in the custody of the department to be excluded, to remain isolated or quarantined at home or at a premises of such person's choice that is acceptable to the department and under such conditions and for such period as will prevent transmission of the contagious disease or other illness, to require the testing or medical examination of persons who may have been exposed to or infected by a contagious disease or who may have been exposed to or contaminated with dangerous amounts of radioactive material or toxic chemicals, to require an individual who has been exposed to or infected by a contagious disease to complete an appropriate prescribed course of treatment, preventative medications, or vaccinations, including directly observed therapy to treat the disease and follow infection control provisions for the disease. Okay, let's talk about this for just a second. So here we have what is referred to as if it's a contagious disease. Well, everything's, you know, the cold is a contagious disease. The flu is a contagious disease. Yet they want to give the governor the authority at his or her discretion to, without probable cause, because they're not showing that you've got real probable cause. Listen, if we believe sort of you could have been possibly been in contact, you're going to get tested. What if you don't want the test? What if the test is invasive and dangerous? Doesn't matter. You're going to be submit to a medical examination if you've been exposed. Based on what? So how do they determine if you've been exposed? Is there probable cause? Is there any due process here? And if they say, oh, well, we think you've been exposed. Of course, I don't see anything about proving that you've been exposed. They want you to take a prescribed course of treatment. I mean, like remdesivir that kills half of the people who take it. Preventative medication or vaccination. Oh, you mean like the Moderna shot or the Pfizer shot with chances of you know, heart attacks, blood clots, stuff like that. This is placing in the hands of the governor and the state the authority at their whim. Now, yes, we would hope that they would only use this for severe emergencies, but they're using stuff like this for COVID, a disease with a 98.4% survival rate across all ages. You want to give this to the state? You want to give this to the governor? Now, as I understand, this bill has been pulled because it got so much attention, but it doesn't mean it won't be reintroduced again. That's one thing that does quite a bit in New York, right? A bill gets submitted and generates a lot of negative feedback. It gets pulled only to get reintroduced later and a lot more quietly. Do you think things are getting freer in 2022? Well, how about this story? Talking about Round Rock Independent School District in Texas. You see, of the school board, there are two members who object to their COVID policies. They oppose the COVID policies that they want to have enforced. So what is the school board doing? They're trying to investigate and censure them because they disagree. Because they disagree, the board is trying to censure them for disagreeing. This is Texas. We're not talking New York. We're not talking California. We're not talking Washington, D.C. We're talking Texas. You disagree, you get investigated and censured. Does that sound like freedom to you? Does that sound like more liberty? Doesn't sound like it to me. Or what about Professor Mark Crispin Miller of New York University, who had to fight to retain his right to disagree with the school? See, he disagreed with the efficacy of their mask policy during the pandemic. Well, he's only recently been exonerated. You see, in his classes, he would read the scientific literature on masking. He would say things like, it may interest you to know that all the randomized controlled trials on masking in hospitals have found that masks are not effective barriers against respiratory viruses. He thought the students would want to know this. You know, give them information. And he would encourage them to read other, more recent studies. Well, this offended a student. One student didn't like the fact that, well, the teacher was actually asking them to think. Heaven forbid. So she rose a stink. The school sent an email to all of his students claiming that what he had given was dangerous misinformation. He was quoting scientifically accurate studies. Information from randomized controlled testing. Actual science. But you see, because one student was unhappy, all of a sudden it's misinformation, and they went after him. They warned him that he may lose his job, I believe. His colleagues ordered an investigation into him for using scientific reports to inform his, not to require them. He didn't say they're stupid. He didn't say don't wear a mask in my classroom. He said, I thought you would want to know this. And he was vilified. Now he's suing. He's suing his fellow teachers that attacked him for libel. And he's been found to be true. Isn't it amazing? Now, not only do you expect that to be less in 2022 or more, but think about it this way. This started when a student was upset. One student reported it. That student not only will be voting for decades, most likely, that student, directly or indirectly, will be helping setting policy for decades. Do you think things are going to get, you think a love for liberty is going to increase in 2022, when you have students like that? And again, I focused a lot on the COVID stuff, but it's not just COVID. The EPA wants to introduce new regulations forcing people to use electric vehicles. You see, he wants to put out new emission standards that make gasoline and diesel vehicles just so expensive, you'll go to the electric ones. Now, let's ignore the fact that, well, the United States has no authority to set emission standards. None whatsoever. They don't. These regulations are criminal. They're not simply illegal. They are criminal. They are forcing people to make things they don't want in an attempt to force people to buy things they don't want. Listen, you want to buy an electric vehicle. Electric vehicle makes sense for you. Be my guest. I don't care. But here I am. I live out in the country. I'm not in the middle of nowhere, but you can see it from my front porch. An electric vehicle doesn't make sense for me. Why? Well, I tend to drive, some around town driving, I could probably get away with an electric vehicle, but they're bloody expensive. Now, sure, the government's going to pick up part of the tab. That doesn't make it any better. That's the government stealing my money to pay for something they're not authorized to. But you see, those in Washington, D.C., they don't care. They don't care. They don't care about the Constitution because we, the people, don't hold them accountable. They don't care that what they're doing is criminal because we don't make it a big deal. We don't care that the American people don't want what Biden is pushing. He doesn't care. That's why he's got to force it down your throat. Listen, if people wanted vehicles with better fuel mileage, they'd buy them. Some people do, some people don't. Why? Because there's always a trade-off. But you see, there are always those people who do not care. They don't think you're smart enough to understand this, that they must force it down your throat. Do you expect this to get better in 2022? No. It's not. It's going to be another year of promises to make you miserable. Oh, they don't promise to make you miserable, but the promises they make will make you miserable. They're going to offer you free stuff and enslave you to the government. They're going to offer to punish other people and then watch as that gets turned around and pointed against you. They're going to destroy the rights of the American people, and the American people are cheering for it. And I don't expect that to get better in 22, regardless of who wins the election. Because as I say, I'm with George Washington. When it comes to political parties, a pox on all their houses. They may be different in where they want government to control your life, but they still want government to control your life. If we want 2022 to be better, to be more free than 2021, we have to not simply sit back and go, oh, well, I hope maybe I'll vote. Maybe it'll make a difference. Maybe this party will. No. We need to do it ourselves. We need to stop looking for someone else to protect our rights. We need to stop looking for someone else to renew this love of liberty. We need to rekindle it in our own hearts. Do it by reading, do it by studying, do it by talking. However we do it, we need to renew this love of liberty, being able to do what you want without external interference, except as is absolutely necessary for the safety of society. Not what somebody thinks, not what somebody claims, not what somebody whines. Oh, we've got to do this because we're all going to die. They've been telling us that for decades. And they've been wrong each and every time. Not because of climate change, not because of COVID, not because of food shortages or overpopulation, because none of them have come true. Stop looking to government to provide for you. That's liberty. Stop being enslaved to the whims of others. That's liberty. Start finding ways to be independent, to declare your personal independence, to live based on the actual law, not the illegal mandates that come from our state houses, from our county courthouses, from our city halls, and from Washington, D.C. If we want 2022 to be more free than 2021, it will only happen when we, the people, demand it and hold our employees accountable if they fail to do their job. Now be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. It's important we are aware that we do our part, that we share the stories, the videos, the articles, the podcasts, so that we can help secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and for our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail.